All right, so we just sang, we were led by them to sing, O Christ, be the center of our lives. And that song says, you hold everything together. And I want you to think about that line, you hold everything together. And realize this, that anywhere in life, and today we're going to be talking about the peer puzzle, and so I also want you to think about puzzles, but think about the rest of your life. Nothing naturally comes together and stays together by itself. A puzzle has to be put together by an outside intelligent power that is beyond that puzzle. And naturally, our lives fall apart. Our relationships break, we stray away from God. But asking Christ to be the center of our life, He is the figure that brings everything back together. He restores our relationship with God and reconnects us with the power that is able to put the puzzle of our lives back together when they have fallen apart. And so that's why we sing Christ be the center of our lives. And I'm going to talk to you today about friendship and how do you find good friends. And next week we're going to talk about how do you stay away from bad friends and then how do you repair broken friendships. And all this time we're going to be talking real practically about friendship and friends. But I want this to override everything and kind of weave its way through everything is that you can take all these principles and it'll help your friendships a little bit. But your friendships and your relationships will not ultimately hold together unless Christ is the center of your life. And you're operating out of a heart that knows and understands Him and His love for us and His power to heal our brokenness. And that way we can extend that to one another and we can use God's power and His presence in our life to repair our brokenness and hold everything together. So Christ must be the center. He is the mediator or the go-between between humans and God. Jesus is God become man. And that's why we want Him to be the center. So we're getting ready to just go headlong into friendship. Let me pray one more time just so that our hearts are all in the right place. God, Jared just prayed that our hearts would be open and that they would be soft to hear Your word. And I do pray that every heart in this room would be ready to hear just the instruction that Your word holds for our lives. And I thank You that You love us and You want more than just to save us, but You want us to have lives filled with joy and pleasure, like it said in Psalm 16 that we looked at last week. So God, lead us towards a joyful, fulfilling life that You have planned for us as we look at what Your word says about friendship. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're talking about puzzles. I want to show you this really cool website real quick. I've got some screen caps of it. It's called jigzone.com, and you can do puzzles on your computer. And so it saves all that trouble of getting out the pieces, losing the pieces and all that, finding them on the floor, having to take up a bunch of room in your house on a table. You can play jigsaw puzzles online, and you can choose all different sizes and all different kinds. And so I just chose this picture, and here's what's cool. It's also a little bit of a competition. You can see down there at the bottom in the red where it says red has a little timer. It says fastest, 119. Average, 947. So I just pulled up this puzzle. I was playing it, and I said, you know what? I'm going to see if I can at least beat the average. That fastest time, I don't know how people do it. It's crazy. So anybody ever done a puzzle before? Raise your hand. All right. Okay, great. What do you usually do? What's the best strategy to start on a puzzle? What? Go with colors. Somebody said corners and sides, right? The best thing to do is to get the outsides, and then you kind of fill in. So, check it out. Here's the next screen cap. I did the outside. Look at my time. 4 minutes and 20 seconds, I had the outside done. And so I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to blaze through this thing. I've got the outside done. Now I just have to fit in all these pieces that they don't look similar at all. That's a lie. They do. Look at my final time, all right? I finished the puzzle. 17 minutes and 30 seconds. I was ashamed. I mean, no, that's not worth clapping for. I almost did it again so I could have a better time to put on the screen, but I was like, no, that's being dishonest. I've just got to be real. And that was my puzzle time was 17 minutes and 30 seconds. And get on there and see if you can beat my time. Go find this puzzle. I don't know what it's called. It's 67 pieces. Oh, Cambridge in Winter. So go try to find, is it Cambridge or Carbridge? Carbridge, maybe? Carbridge in Winter. Go try to find that bridge and see if you can beat 1730. Email me and let me know, and I'll give you props for that for sure. But my time was terrible. But we're talking about puzzles, and I just wanted to show you that puzzle and kind of remind you of, you know, your strategy and what it looks like. And life, specifically your relationships with friends, are a lot like a puzzle. Let me explain it to you in this way. When you do a puzzle, all right, and here's what's great about the online puzzle is you can't lose a piece. But when you do a puzzle, every piece matters. And how frustrating is it to get to the end of a puzzle if you're working on a table or something and you can't find that last stinking piece? And you're just like pulling up couch cushions. You're giving the dog the Heimlich maneuver so he vomits. You're sorting through the dog's vomit and poop trying to find that piece. Everybody's done it. No? Right, that's normal. It's always normal to give the cat Epicac. I don't know why I did that. But you always want to find that piece because every piece of the puzzle matters. Without every single piece, the picture is incomplete. And I want to tell you this. Every single one of you matters. You are a piece in the puzzle of your peers that has value and importance, and it's just as significant as every other piece. And I know sometimes you don't feel that way. Sometimes it is hard to find your place where you fit in your school or on your team or even in your family or in this group or in your small group or wherever it is in your dance group or, you know, I don't know what other groups you're in, but it is hard to find sometimes your place. And I know sometimes I remember specifically taking long walks, long dramatic, angst-filled walks as a teenager, wondering if I had a place to fit in. And really thinking, maybe I don't. You know, maybe I just don't. Maybe I don't matter. Feeling depressed, feeling down. You know, I just don't have a place to fit. And I just want to tell you that we are all a part of a big puzzle together, and every piece matters. Every piece is significant. And just like a puzzle, every piece has a specific place where it goes, and it doesn't go any other place. And I think God has a plan for your life, all right? And I think he has a place for you to fit in where only you can fit and where you are needed and valued and important and significant. And then I want to tell you this too, that sometimes in life, I've tried to do this in a puzzle before, and I tried to do it on that online one because on the online one, a lot of the pieces are shaped the same, exactly the same, but they have, you know, different images on them. And I kept trying to put the wrong piece in the wrong place and make it fit where it doesn't belong. And if you've ever done a puzzle before, I've tried to do that too, where you're like, it looks pretty good. It's a blue sky. It's all just blue. And it doesn't quite fit, but if I just bend it a little bit and shove it in, it'll fit. And sometimes we try to fit in the wrong place. Every piece has its place, but sometimes we try to fit in the wrong place. Sometimes we'd even go so far, imagine you're doing a puzzle and you would take scissors and cut off a piece of the thing to make it fit. Or imagine you were to take that piece that you cut off there and tape it on another part of the piece and kind of wedge it, and then that way it fits. And we do that with our lives. You cut off and hide parts of who you are, parts of your story, parts of your personality, parts of your body, and you hide it. You cut those pieces off, and then you add on pieces. And you put things on, whether it's clothes, whether it's attitudes, whether it's words, whether it's interest in things that you're not really interested in, and we put things on in order to try to fit. And just like if you do a puzzle, that doesn't really help and it doesn't really give you a complete picture at the end, your life is not going to be a complete accurate picture of everything God intended it to be if you're constantly cutting stuff out and adding stuff on to your life. But we all do it. And so here's what we're talking about. I've already given you the summary, but put it up on the screen. We're going to talk about how you find your place, because you have a place, and every place matters. Next 3 weeks is how do you find your place in this peer puzzle? And so the first week, that's today, we're going to talk about how do you surround yourself with the right pieces. That's another thing you do when you do a puzzle. You do the edges, and then this guy down here I think said colors. Then you start to group together all your pieces, you know, in, okay, this looks like this area, this looks like this area, and you group them together and you do the sections and you move the sections in. That's how you do a puzzle well. So how do you surround yourself with the right pieces? How do you know what kinds of friends you want to have around you? How do you find a good friend? Next week, we're going to talk about avoiding the wrong places. How do you identify bad friends? And then the third week will be dealing with bad fits. What do you do when you have a friendship, but it's just broken and it's not working right? How do you solve conflict in your friendships? And we all have that. But this week, week one, is surrounding yourself with the right pieces. And I think this is true. I think we all struggle. We all struggle with making and keeping good friends. This past summer, here at Wake, we did a thing called Burning Questions, where we had you guys write down any question that you wanted to ask, and then we tried to answer it. And some of the questions you guys asked us were about friendship. And I want to read you these because I think this helps you understand the reality of how much we all struggle with making and keeping good friends, because these are your peers. Some of these may be written by you sitting in this room in Dallas, Texas. This isn't out of my head or some book. This is actual students from Wake. So here they are. Here's seven questions. What do you do when you've already talked to your friend about God, but she doesn't believe any of it? Am I supposed to give up? All right? So I've got a friend that doesn't believe in God. I'm trying to talk to them about it, but they don't believe it, and there's just a disconnect there. What do you do? If you think your friend is using you for wealth or some other reason, what should you do? If one of your friends is showing off and flirting to make you look bad, what do you do? What do I do when one of my best friends starts to drink or smoke? A girl at school calls me her best friend, but I don't think she is my best friend. The girl's very popular and not the girl I want to be around or be best friends with because she makes bad decisions and is rude to the unpopular people. What do I do? How do you tell your friends why you don't want to do stuff with them anymore? What if you're over at your friend's house, but he wants to watch a movie you're not sure you're allowed to see? You call your parents, but they're not home. What do you do? And on it goes. That's just seven examples. But all of us have a hard time finding friends that you're just like, this is the perfect fit. All right? We like the same things. We're allowed to do the same things. We get along. I know they're not using me. I can trust them. I can tell them things they don't tell other people. And on it goes. Or I just know that they value me. They want me. They call me. They invite me to stuff. They initiate with me, and they let me initiate with them. They send me text messages. They send me messages on Facebook or comment or like what I say. We're friends. We get along. I'm wanted there. We have a hard time finding that. We all struggle with it. And here's the thing. In the midst of that struggle, I think one of the problems we have is that we're not careful enough choosing our friends and surrounding ourselves with the right pieces. We'll just take whatever we can get. But I think God wants us to be very careful when we choose our friends. And that's what this morning is about, is being very careful and deliberate in choosing friends. Proverbs 12:26 says this, "A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." And so the challenge for all of you guys this morning is this. If you go back one slide, just go back. The challenge this morning is this, to understand this, that God wants you to be very careful when you choose your friends. So if you don't remember anything from this morning, guys, if you don't remember Mrs. Cottontail or Picklebottom or the youth officers, I hope you forget that stuff. I hate it when you get in the car after church and all you tell your parents about is the stupid stuff we did, but you never tell them about this part. It makes it look like we're running a circus here, okay? And that's not true. If you remember one thing, if you tell your parents one thing in the car today when you go home, it's this, that God wants you to be cautious when you choose your friends. Proverbs 12:26 says, "A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." And so here's the question I'm going to answer from that is, how do you surround yourself with the right friends? All right? So God's telling you, I'm telling you, be careful when you choose your friends. Be cautious. Don't be led astray. So how do you do that? And I'm going to give you seven things to look for. So if you're looking at friends, and I want you to, as I'm talking, I want you to evaluate all of your friendships right now and your old ones. Think about how many friends you've had. Start at first grade. Start at kindergarten. How many friends have you had? How many people have come and gone in and out of your life for different reasons? And then I want you to evaluate the friends you have right now and see if they meet this criteria. And then think about people you know who might not be your friend, but could be your friend that might meet this criteria. So seven things to look for. And then I'm going to tell you at the end where you can go online to look at these seven things and review them later. Okay? So here we go. Number one, the first thing to look for is find people who will pick you up when you fall and forget your failures. Who will pick you up when you fall and forget your failures. I mean, a good friend isn't someone when you mess up, when you say the wrong thing and you embarrass yourself, that they let you get embarrassed and they just leave you out there hanging. Or when you just make a mistake and you stray and you say something hurtful to them or you do something that, you know, hurts your reputation. You need to find people that will always pick you up when you fall, not leave you there, and they'll forget your failures and move past it. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says this, "If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up." Proverbs 17:9 says, "He who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends." You need someone that will forgive you when you are not a good friend. You need someone that will forget your failures, that will pick you up when you fall down. That's number one. We're just going to zip through these and you can review them later. Number two, find people who will be there in the hard times. I mean, we all go through hard times. I know several of you guys, your families have been through divorces. I know some of you guys are in the middle of it right now. I know some of you guys are, most of you guys, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, you're going to go through changes in your life when it comes to school, when it comes to sports and teams, and you're going to go through physical changes and relational changes, and those things are all hard. I mean, change is hard. Some of you guys are going to struggle in school. Some of your families are going to struggle with money. On and on it goes. And you're going to have hard times. You need people who you can talk to about hard times, and they are there for you. They are there with you. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times. You don't just have to pretend like everything's good all the time. Because a real friend loves you all times. A brother is born for adversity. All right, number three, find people who don't have a temper. Oh my gosh. I've had so many friends that have a bad temper, and they're like the best friend, but if you hit them on the wrong day or the wrong way, it's like end of the world. Or like you go over to their house and you're just hanging out having fun, and their sister comes in the room, and you're in their room hanging out. And their sister comes in, they're like, "Get out!" And all of a sudden, like you see this side of them that's like raging, or their mom's like, "Time for lunch." Like, "Shut up, mom! I hate you!" And you're like, awkward. You know, and you don't want to be friends with that person that has a temper. You guys are all laughing because you've been there. You've been at somebody else's house where them and their mom are like, "Ah!" You're like, "Oh, I just want to leave. I want to fly away." You close your eyes, you click your heels, nothing happens. It doesn't end. You've got to find people that don't have a temper. Here's the thing, man. The Bible knows about friendships. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Don't make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one who's easily angered." Because guess what? It's only a matter of time before that fire hose of fury is turned on you. And you're the one that's on the other end. Don't make friends with someone that has a temper, even if you've never seen it turned on you. But they have a temper in tennis, when they're playing, they're slamming their racket, throwing it over the fence, pouting around. Don't be friends with that person, because pretty soon that racket's going to be hitting your head. All right? Number four, find people you can trust even to hurt you. Find people who will hurt your feelings. That's the kind of friend you want to have. Let me explain. All right? Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Here's the deal. Let me help you understand this. Yeah, you guys are all like, "I want kisses." Here's the thing. Let's say Trace and I are friends, and we're out with a bunch of people. And the whole time we're out with a bunch of people, I am talking way too much. And I'm annoying other people. And people are wanting to leave and go do something else. If Trace was a good friend, he would say, "Hey, man, let me just tell you, last night when we were all hanging out, you might have like kind of talked a little bit more than you needed to. And I think it was kind of rubbing people the wrong way." Now, that might hurt my feelings. That's a wound from a friend. Because he's my friend, I can trust him to say hard things to me, but it helps me get better. Whereas if he was my enemy, he would only multiply kisses, and that would be awkward. No. What that means is, all right, that doesn't mean he's actually kissing me. What that means is he's just flattering me. He's just telling me what I want to hear, and he's just going to be nice to me. And that's not being a real friend, because he's letting me look like a jerk in front of everybody else, and he's not helping me get better. So wounds from a true friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. So number four is you need to find people you can trust even to hurt you. People that will tell you the truth about yourself. And that is a valuable thing to have in a friend. Number five, find people who can give advice you can count on. I mean, who has advice you can count on? Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart. And the pleasantness of one's friends springs from his earnest counsel. Nobody wants to be friends with someone that doesn't wear deodorant. All right? Or someone that just smells bad all the time. And what this is saying is, hey, someone smelling good, that's a nice thing. But someone that can give you earnest, honest advice and counsel, that's even better. That's even better. So find somebody that gives good advice. Number six, find people you can spend a lot of time with. Listen, guys, we live in Dallas. You guys are spread out all over the place. You need to find friends that you can spend time with at least once or twice a week. Right? That's why we do small groups, is so you can see people here, and then you can be in a small group with them outside, even if you don't go to school. But it's even better to be friends with people that go to school. Proverbs 27:10 says, "Do not forsake your friend or the friend of your father. Do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." Let me explain what this means. This means when things go bad, it's better to have a friend that lives near you than to go to your own brother's house if he lives far away. And this is saying, hey, you need to be friends with people you can be near with, that you're in close proximity with. And so you need to find people who you can spend time with. So you might know someone in this room that's 1 through 5 for sure, but you only see them at church because they're not in your small group, and you just see them here on Sunday once a week. Sometimes if you miss a week, it's every other week. Man, you need to find friends that you spend more time with than that to be really close to. If you don't naturally see them, you need to be proactive to invite them over. Last one's this. Find people who share your beliefs. 2 Corinthians 6:14 and 15 says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever?" Yoked together was a term they used for oxen. They would plow the field and they would put this wood thing over the top of the heads of two oxen to link them together, and they would walk side by side to do the work of plowing the field. And what this is saying is, don't link yourself together and walk through life with someone that is not following Christ, because they're constantly going to be trying to walk a better direction. There's no better place on earth than the road that leads to heaven. I want you to walk that road in 2011, and if somebody is not walking that road, why are you linking yourself to them and being best friends with them, because they are walking a different direction down every other path? So the seventh thing you need to look for is find people who share your beliefs. So there's your summary. Where can you find it? Pull up the website real quick. We've got a new website this year. It's called morewake.com. So if you like Wake, go find morewake, morewake.com. Go there. This is what the website looks like. There's curriculum right there in the middle on the left. Click that. This is a little secret in case you didn't know it, but every message and every Bible study discussion guide is available on this website. So scroll down. Last week, no better place. Before Christmas, really. All I Want for Christmas was DMARV. This Changes Everything was what we did in November. Freak was Pine Cove. Everything's on there. All the audio from the messages and all the discussion guides for your small group. So you go there, you click that discussion guide, and you've got this list of seven things. All right? So here's your application. Evaluate your friendships. Take these seven things, print them off at home, remember them in your head, and evaluate your friendships based on those seven things. And then the second thing is this. You be the kind of friend that you'd like to find. You be that person. You be those seven things in other people's lives. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I pray that we can be good friends, and I pray that you would help these students find good friends, that they would find their fit in this puzzle. Every one of them is valuable. Help them to feel and know that value as they surround themselves with the right pieces and experience life the way you intended it. In Jesus.